Thanks for listening to this Arrow FM podcast, brought to you with the support of New Zealand On Air.
Hello, welcome back to Discover the Wonders. Today we are talking about the wonder of kindness. What kindness can do wonders. And so I'm going to tell you a story from the Bible about kindness, and I'm going to tell you some other amazing stories about kindness as well. So we're doing another story from the New Testament. We had been going through, I kind of started at the beginning of the Bible in the book of Genesis, and we've been going through those stories there. But last week and this week, we're taking a break and we're going into the New Testament to the stories about Jesus. So that's good for a change. But today's story is actually a story that Jesus told. So it's a parable. Jesus told some stories that would teach a lesson, and they were called parables. So when he told the story, he was talking to someone, and they were talking about the greatest commandments, which is to love God with all of your heart and everything that you have, and then to love other people as you love yourself. So Jesus had told this to somebody. They were talking about it. And the other person said, "But who is my neighbor?" And so Jesus told this story to explain to that man who his neighbor was. So I'm going to tell you this story that he told. So he told a story about a man who was traveling from one city to another. But as he was going, he got robbed. So he was on a dangerous road where there could be robbers hiding, and these robbers jumped out, they attacked this poor man, and then they took everything that he had and then just left him there very injured. Now, that is not kindness. Their attitude was, "What you have is mine and I'm going to take it." So they're taking what belongs to somebody else, which is not kind, and then they just left him there. And now he's out on this lonely road, no one to help, but maybe, just maybe, somebody will come along who will be kind and who will help him. So that poor man had to lay there, and finally he heard footsteps. Somebody is coming. Now this man who is coming is somebody who works in the temple. So this man is someone who's supposed to be working for God. Now God is kind, so this man should be kind too if he works for God. He was a priest in the temple. But this man didn't even come over to have a look at this guy. This priest just walked straight past. His attitude was, "What's mine is mine and I'm going to keep it." So this man was not willing to share anything of what he had with this poor man. He didn't want to give his time or anything of himself. He didn't want to risk his own safety because, you know, maybe there were still robbers around there. So he just hurried on past. So that poor man is still lying there. Is somebody going to be kind? Is anybody come along? Is going to come along who is kind and who thinks about other people other than just themselves? Soon he hears footsteps again. Somebody else is coming. Now, this is another man from the temple, another man who's supposed to be working for God. Will this man show kindness? This man walks right over to this poor man lying on the ground. Surely he's going to be kind. He looks at him, then he goes to the other side of the road again and keeps on walking. This man, he looks like he cares a little bit more, but he's still doing nothing to help. He's just left him there. He has the same attitude as the other guy. What's mine is mine, and I'm going to keep it. So that poor man is there, but he's still alive. Maybe, just maybe, somebody else will come along who is kind and who will give of themselves to help him. Finally, he hears another man coming along. Now, if he had been able to see this man, he would have thought, "Oh, no, that man's definitely not going to help me." This man was from another place, and they were kind of enemies of each other. Like the Jewish people and the Samaritan people were kind of enemies of each other. And this man who was coming along was a Samaritan man, so surely he wouldn't stop to help. But guess what? This Samaritan man was a kind man. And so when he came along, he thought, oh, that poor guy. What if that was me lying there? I would want somebody to help me. Because there's a rule in the Bible called the golden rule, and that means we should treat other people how we want them to treat us. So if we were the one lying there, we would want someone to come and help us, right? And that's how this Samaritan thinks. He thought, oh, what can I do to help? And so he goes and have a look. And then he starts getting out his own stuff. So his attitude was, what's mine is yours, and you can have it. So he's going to share what he has. First of all, he's going to share his time. He's actually going to risk his safety too, because maybe there are still bad guys around. He's not just getting out of there as quick as he can. He's going to take his time, and he gets out his own things to help, like bandages and medicine. And he starts fixing up this guy. And then he puts him on his own donkey. That was his way of transport then. And then he took him to like a motel. They called them an inn in those days, but somewhere to stay the night. Now that costs money. So this good Samaritan, he gets out his own wallet, gets out his own money, and he pays the innkeeper. And he takes care of this man all night. So he's really given his own time, he's given his own body, his own sleep, and he is thinking about somebody else besides himself. Now, the next day, he does have to keep going, but he gives money to the motel manager or the man in charge, the innkeeper, and he says, please take good care of this man. And when I come back, I will pay you if it costs you more. So he's just given of his own money, and now he is on his way. And Jesus said to this man who was talking to, which one of these was kind to his neighbor? And the man said, this Jewish man, he didn't want to admit it, but he had to admit that it was the Samaritan. He said the one who showed kindness was like a real neighbor. And Jesus said to him, now you need to go and you need to do the same. So God wants us to be like that good Samaritan, to care about other people and not just care about ourselves. He wants us to give to others what he's given to us, to share what we have with other people. You know, that's what God is like. God gave Jesus, his own son, to come down from heaven, to live on this earth, to die on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. That is the kindness of God. And Jesus was also very kind. He was kind to all different kinds of people, not just the more respectable ones. So Jesus and God are very kind, and that's how God wants us to be too. But kindness is a wonder as well. Kindness can do wonders. So anyway, first I'm going to sing a little song which is based on a Bible verse about being kind to one another.
Be kind to one another, be tender-hearted too, forgiving one another as God has forgiven you. Christ is our example, like him we should be kind to one another.
So now I'm going to tell you the story of a lady who is very similar to the Good Samaritan. And this lady lived quite a long time ago, and her name was Florence Nightingale. Now, Florence Nightingale was born into a very rich family. And so she was a very rich girl. But you know what she liked doing? So she had 18 dolls, and that's because she was very rich. Although these days you could probably have that many dolls and not be really rich, because we have op shops and you can buy dolls very cheaply that are secondhand. But she had a lot of dolls because she was very rich. Now what she would do with them, she would tie slings around her doll's arm. She would bandage them up and she would nurse her dolls because she was very interested in being a nurse. But she was from a very rich family, and they had two huge houses, so like two mansions and a lot of land. They had servants to do their work for them. So her and her sister, they had really fancy dresses. They had as many toys and dolls as they want. They even had ponies. But as Florence grew older, she realized that not everybody else lived like them. Most people did not live in a huge mansion with everything they could want. A lot of people in their area lived in very small, crowded houses. And sometimes her mother would take her to go help those people. But most of the time, her family would just enjoy themselves. They were rich, they had a lot, and they enjoyed it. But Florence was not very happy. She didn't want to just enjoy what she had. You know, it is a good thing to enjoy what you have, but Florence wanted to help people. She wanted to be like that good Samaritan, not just think, well, I've got a lot. She could see the other people around her who were more like that man on the side of the road, and she wanted to help. She was kind. So she sometimes visited people who were sick, and so that's where she saw all the sick people. But then when she was only 9, somebody she knew got very sick. She had a cousin called Bonnie, and he got so sick, and the doctors couldn't help him. And so he ended up dying from his sickness. And that made Florence think even more, what can I do to help all these sick people? But you know what? Her parents just expected her to enjoy being rich, to grow up, to marry a rich man and have a family, to live in a huge house and have lots of fun. That's what they expected her to do. Now, she loved her family, but she did not love the idea of just living for herself and enjoying all the good things she has. I mean, how can you really enjoy what you have when you see people around you who have so little and who are suffering? So she really wanted to help. Now, when she was about 16, she felt like God was talking to her. So she was in a very quiet spot, and she felt like God was talking to her and telling her or asking her to serve God. So she didn't know quite what that meant right then, but she didn't want to live. She knew she didn't want to live the way that her parents wanted her to live, just to enjoy being rich and to have fun. So what is she going to do? For a long time, she thought, what can she do? But, you know, in those days, being a nurse was a whole lot different than it is today. In those days, well, the hospitals were really dirty. This is like in the 1840s. They were very dirty. You often didn't get better there. You just get more sick because there's so many germs and there wasn't much good care for the sick people. And also the nurses there were not very, they weren't respectable ladies. Like, it wasn't a respectable job. Often they would drink alcohol and get drunk, and they were just not very ladylike people, and the hospitals were just not nice. So Fanny told her parents that she wanted to be a nurse, and her parents and her sister were not happy at all. They thought, you can't do that. That's not something for you. That's not what rich people do. But she just wanted to help people so much, and she wanted to serve God. So she didn't know what to do because she didn't want to hurt her family. She didn't want to disgrace them or anything like that. And so she didn't become a nurse right then. But she didn't give up. She began to read in secret about hospitals. So she kind of educated herself in secret so she didn't upset her family. But when she was about 29 years old, she went on a trip with some friends. And in Germany, she visited a school where they were training nurses. And they were very ladylike ladies. And so seeing them made her remember how she wanted to be useful and how she wanted to help people. So she decided that she was going to go to that place. So she had a choice to make. She could either live to please her family and keep them happy and just enjoy life and just enjoy what she has, or she could give that up and disappoint her family. But she could give her life to benefit other people. You know, sometimes you can't please other people and do what you've been called to do. So she had to choose to displease her family, but she was choosing to give her life to help better other people. So she went to that nursing school and she trained to be a nurse. She learned how, I think it was a bit different back then, she only trained for about 3 months. She learned to bandage up wounds and to help people who were sick. And then later on, she found a job running a hospital for a woman. So she was so happy to now be able to help people, because that was her dream, because she was like that good Samaritan. But then she thought, I wonder what else I could do. Surely there's more I could do to help people. So later on, she found out what she could do more, because there was a war. England was in war against Russia, and there were thousands of soldiers who had been wounded, and there were many sick soldiers. And so the army needed people to help. And so Florence had a friend who worked for the government, and he wrote to her and said, can you get a group of nurses and go to Turkey? That's where she'd have to go and take these nurses and help over there. She thought, yep, I know this is my job. I'm meant to do this job. And so she got her nurses ready and she went to go work in war. But when she got there, she was in for a big shock. The hospital, the army hospitals, were awful. They didn't even have any beds. The wounded soldiers lay on the floor. They didn't have clean blankets. There were no clean bandages. Everything was dirty. There was hardly even any medicine. So it was quite a mess. And worse than that, she and her nurses were not wanted. The doctors didn't want them to help. They hadn't had women nurses there before, and so it was a strange idea. And so Florence and her nurses were there. They could hear the poor men crying out in pain, and they couldn't help. But they didn't give up. They didn't go home. Instead, they made shirts and bandages. And before long, things started to change, because a whole lot of ships came bringing more and more and more soldiers. And so the doctors desperately needed these ladies' help, and so they just had to help. And so they washed the men, they put bandages on their wounds, and they tried to make little beds out of sacks. They stuffed them up with straw. Now Florence, she worked so hard. She cared so much about these men. She didn't hardly even go to sleep. At night, she would walk around carrying a lamp, and she would comfort those men and try to help them as much as she could. And then when she wasn't busy doing that, she started asking questions, because she wanted to know why the hospital was such a horrible place. Because the army did have money to buy the things they needed, but no one seemed to agree on who should buy them. And if the wrong man brought them, then they'd be in trouble. But Florence was very rich, remember, and she had all her own money. So she went and brought all the supplies so nobody would get in trouble. She bought shirts and socks and towels and soap and forks and knives and all those different things that they needed that a hospital has. But it's still a very dirty place. They didn't have any cleaners. So Florence brought some brushes and some cleaning supplies, and the nurses started scrubbing the hospitals down themselves. And the soldiers' clothes. There's no laundry system. So Florence paid the soldiers' wives to do the work. So slowly the hospital became a more of a nice place to be in, a cleaner place. And the soldiers were very thankful to Florence Nightingale. And they even kissed her shadow as she would walk past their beds at night, because they were so thankful, because she was like that good Samaritan. Now, she had lots of problems. Not everybody appreciated what she did. And then she got very sick and she nearly died. But she, when she got better, she had to go back. She had to rest for a long time. Oh, first she went to other army hospitals, and then she got sick, and so she had to go back to the other one. But she kept on helping as much as she could, and she lived her life helping to make life better for so many people. And it wasn't until she was a lot older, she was like in her 70s, that she actually started to rest more and to enjoy her life more. But she was very thankful that she could do so much to care for sick people and make real changes to make it more pleasant for people who were in hospital. So she was a real example of a good Samaritan. Now I'm going to tell you a few other stories. So Florence Nightingale was kind to the sick people. But I'm going to tell you a story about somebody who was unkind just because of how the person looked. So we're at a train station. The conductor is getting everybody ready to go on the train. And he sees this old man who looks very, I don't know if he was dirty, but he just didn't look, he wasn't dressed very nicely and he kind of limped around. And so this conductor, because of how this man looked, came along and slapped him on the back, said, "You better hurry up and get on the train, limpy." So he's calling this man, this old man, disrespectful names, and he's not treating him with respect. And so this old man, he went and quietly got on the train. And then when the train was going, as it was traveling, the conductor came around and was going to get the tickets. And he came to this old man and he said, "All right, give me a ticket." And he was just very disrespectful to him. Now, the man said to him, "I don't pay." And the conductor said, "What? Of course you got to pay. If you don't pay, you're going to be off at the next stop." And he like grabbed his suitcase. Now, the old man said, "I wouldn't be so rough if I were you." And so the conductor put his bag down for now, because he couldn't really do anything about it right now. So he went on with his job collecting tickets. Now, further down the aisle, somebody said to him, "Do you know who that old man is?" And he said, "No." And that person said, "You know, that's the president of the railroad. He's the man in charge of the whole railroad." The conductor got a huge shock. He's been disrespectful and rude and impolite and unkind to this man just because of what he looked like. And he had no idea that it was the man in charge of the railroad that he worked for. He thought, "Oh, no." And so he went back to that old man. He got his stuff out of his pockets, the stuff for his job, and he said, "Right, I resign." And the old man, what is he going to do? Everybody's watching because they've just seen how this conductor has treated this old man who is the president of the railroad. That president, he could get revenge. He could make that conductor lose his job, but is he kind? So this old man said, "All right, sit down with me. I want to talk to you." He said, "I don't want revenge. I don't want you to lose your job, but I do want you to learn something." He said, "You can't judge people by what they're wearing or what they look like. And you know, poor people, they need our kindness. We should be most kind to poor people." And he said, "Look, if you will learn something from this, then it's a good thing because you've learned something." Now, can you imagine? That conductor, he would have been so relieved, and yet I think he learned a very important lesson that we need to be kind to everybody and not just be kind because of what somebody looks like. Now I've got another story about being kind to someone who's mean. So kindness can do wonders to our enemies. So Joe, he had a very nice boat that his cousin had given him. It was very nice. And so he'd planned on this morning at 9 o'clock in the morning to go and sail it with some of his friends. So he woke up very happy and he went to go down there early. And when he got down to where the water was, he had a hiding place where he'd hid his boat. He wanted it to be safe. When he got down there, he could see that somebody had found his hiding spot, his hiding place. And he thought, "Oh no." And he went closer and had a look, and his boat had a hole in it. Its sails were all ripped up, and he thought, "Oh no." And he was so upset. And then he turned angry because he thought he knew who had done it. So there was a boy who hadn't been invited to come and sail the boats, and he thought, "I'm sure he would have done it. I'm sure it was Fritz, because Fritz is mean." And so he was angry. He thought, "I've got to get revenge. I've got to pay him back." And so he thought, "I know what I'll do. Fritz is going to come along soon. Every morning Fritz would take some eggs from his farm and go and sell them at the shop. He said, "I'm going to tie some string across the path, and when he comes along, he's going to trip over and all those eggs are going to go smash, and that will pay him back." So he was starting to tie the string up when he heard somebody coming. So he quickly hid in the bushes and he looked out and he thought it was going to be Fritz, but it was his cousin who had given him the boat. And he thought, "Oh." And so he tried to hide But his cousin saw him, and his cousin said, "Joe, what are you doing hiding in the bushes?" And at first Joe didn't want to tell him, and then he thought, "No, I'm going to tell him." And so he told him angrily about what Fritz had done and how mean he was, and he said, "I'm going to make him pay for it." And then he thought, "Oh, okay, now my cousin's going to scold me." But his cousin didn't. He said, "Yep, I think that boy does need to pay for what he did. But what are you going to do?" And so Joe told him, "I'm going to tie a string across. I've tied a string across, and he's going to trip over them and smash all his eggs." And his cousin said, "Well, I think he should pay for what he did, but I don't think that's a good plan. You need something better than that." And Joe said, "Well, what have you got in mind?" And this cousin said, "The Bible says that if your enemy's hungry, you need to give him food. And if he's thirsty, you need to give him a drink. And if you do that, you'll heap coals of fire on his head. So I think you need to give him coals of fire." And Joe was like, "What? That's not going to hurt him. That's not going to burn him." And his cousin said, "Oh, yes, it will. I know that these coals of fire, they burn up a lot of meanness and a lot of bad thoughts." And Joe wasn't so sure. Being kind to Fritz, is that going to make him pay? But his cousin says, "Oh, yes, it will." And Joe said, "Well, what do I need to do that's kind?" And his cousin said, "Well, you've got a lot of nice books, but Fritz, he loves to read, but he can't afford many books. So maybe..." And then he said, "Oh, you just decide what to do. Just make sure you're real kind." And so Joe was still thinking about all this, but he'd picked up the string. And then he saw Fritz coming. He's like, "Oh, what am I going to do?" And so he said, "Hey, Fritz, do you have much time to read?" And Fritz said, "Well, yeah, I do once I've done my jobs for the day. Once I've brought in the cows and done all of that." But he said, "I don't have much money to buy many books." And Joe said to him, "Well, would you like to buy my new book about traveling?" And Fritz said, "Oh, could I really? That would be really neat." And Joe said, "Well, I would invite you to come and sail my boat, but somebody ruined it. Do you know who that might have been?" And Fritz's face fell. And he said, "Oh, that was me. I am so sorry for ruining your boat. I bet you didn't know it was me who did it when you offered to borrow your book to me." And Joe said, "Yes, I did know it was you. Well, I thought it was." And Fritz said, "And yet you offered..." And he couldn't even finish what he was saying. He hurried away. And Joe just smiled. He thought, "Oh, this really does work. Being kind is burning him. It's making him feel uncomfortable." And so Fritz ran away. But when Joe came back to meet his friends, Fritz was already there, and he was trying really hard to fix the boat. And he also had bought a little flag to put on the boat. He brought it with his money from selling the eggs. And you know what? Fritz became a good friend of Joe. And Joe was really happy because instead of getting revenge, instead of treating his enemies with meanness, he used coals of kindness. And that kindness did wonders. It turned his enemy into a friend. So that is pretty neat what doing kindness can do. It can do wonders. So if you have someone who's mean to you, instead of just being mean back, try what Jesus said to do. Try kindness and see what a difference it makes. And you know what? Sometimes even animals can be kind. So I heard a story about a dog, and he went with his master to a different town. And people in the town noticed that when this dog was fed, the dog's name was Mika, when he was fed, he would carry half of the food away and then come back and eat the half that was left. And they thought, "What is that dog doing?" And so the next time they followed that dog, they followed Mika, and they found he was taking half of his food to an old dog with a broken leg. So he was giving half of his own food to someone who couldn't go and get food. So even a dog can show kindness. Now I'm just going to sing one song about God's kindness and his love towards us.
There will never be a sweeter story, stories of the Savior's love divine. love that brought him from the realms of glory, just to save a sinful soul like mine. Isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful, wonderful? Oh, isn't the love of Jesus something wonderful, wonderful it is to me?
So I hope you've learned from these stories about the wonder of God's loving kindness towards us. He was so kind to us that he sent his only son to come to earth and die on the cross so that our sins can be forgiven. But he also wants us to be kind as well. You know, when we're kind to others, we're really being kind to ourselves as well. And when we're mean and cruel to others, we just hurt ourselves as well. So let's be like Florence Nightingale, not just enjoy what we have, but share what we have with others and care about other people who don't have what we have. Let's not be like the conductor who treated people based on what they look like. Let's be like Joe, who used the coals of kindness and who turned an enemy into a friend. And let's be like that little dog who shared what he had with somebody else who needed it.